In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today is the Feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord. Yesterday, we looked at Luke's transfiguration. Today, we're going to be looking at Matthew's transfiguration. And we're going to at least spend some time on the transfiguration of the Lord. The entrance hymn today was, "In a resplendent cloud, the Holy Spirit appeared. The Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That cloud of glory covered that mountain called Tabor, and that cloud of glory was the same cloud that led the Israelites through the desert. And as it moved, they moved. Well, the cloud of glory is on the Mount of Tabor because Jesus is there. And we look at Matthew's Gospel at the 17th chapter, and it says, "And after six days from Caesarea Philippi," the walking from Caesarea Philippi to Mount Tabor would take 6 days, "Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them into a high mountain apart." We remember Luke said Jesus was praying. Matthew doesn't say that. "And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, the glory of the Lord shining on the face of Jesus. And his clothes were as white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus." What were they talking about? His departure. God speaks to Jesus through Moses and Elijah about his departure in Jerusalem, how painful it's going to be. But God gives Jesus that experience of Tabor, that experience of that light that was his from all eternity, so that he will be able to mount the cross, because there is not only the cross, but the resurrection. "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, the cloud of his glory, the cloud of the Holy Spirit. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, for they were very afraid." Yes, they hear the voice of God. Very afraid. "And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and do not be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus alone." So we see that who they see is Jesus alone, the fulfillment of Moses, the law, the fulfillment of Elijah, the prophet, the fulfillment of God's love for us, the light of Christ shining on the face of Jesus. Do you realize this great feast taking place in the Holy Land today, that everybody is going in this house or this church that is filled with light, filled with glory? And today they will be celebrating the Feast of the Transfiguration, which we did this morning, the Transfiguration of the Lord. The Lord God made this sweet for Jesus because he was heading toward Calvary. This happened in the fall. How do I know that? Because they want to make three tabernacles. It was the Feast of Booths. So Jesus Christ has the light of God shining on his face. Do you know that today? Do you know that the light of God shines on the face of Jesus, not in condemnation, but in reception, in receiving you, in letting you know that you are the beloved of the Father, and letting you know that he has plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. When you call upon me, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. Then I went back to Luke, and it's Luke 9:44. Let these sayings sink down into your ears. In other words, hear them. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. They don't want to hear this. Peter, James, and John don't want to hear this. The apostles don't want to hear this. They don't understand what he's saying. He's talking about his passion. But they understood not this saying, and it was hidden from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him what the saying was all about. It was all about what Moses and Elijah talked to him on the Mount of Transfiguration, that he would go into Jerusalem and be broken, and that he would shed his blood out of love for us. But they are not ready to understand this. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them was the greatest. You see, Jesus has been with them how many years? Almost 3 years. And they're still worrying who's the greatest. Jesus didn't get to their hearts yet. It takes the cross. When I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. They're still in the world and of the world. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. Why a child? Because a child was property in those days. A child had no worth other than property. And he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me, and whoever shall receive me receives him who sent me. For he that is least among you shall be called great. Now, who wants to be least? Who wants to be least among the disciples? You'll be called great. Who wants to sit at the lowest place? You'll be called great. You see, they all wanted to vie for power. The power was in their heart. They needed the power. And yet Jesus talks about emptying himself of the power, emptying himself of the glory, emptying himself of all that was his from all eternity. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and we forbade him because he doesn't follow with us. He's not part of our group. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he who is not against us is for us. So that's what Jesus talks about, you know. That's why we need not to make fun of other Christians. He who is not against us is for us. This is very important. We need never to throw other Christians down. It's wrong. Our enemy is not the Christian. Our enemy is the devil. And you must know that. That is not the Christian. Maybe they don't go to the churches that I go to. But you know what? They belong to Jesus. And if they belong to Jesus, they are for us and not against us. And it came to pass when the time had come that he should be received up, he suddenly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he is going to Jerusalem to be crucified. And he sent messengers before him, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Jesus. And they did not receive Jesus. Why? Because his face was pointed toward Jerusalem. We remember that the Samaritans worshipped on a different hill. They worshipped on Mount Gerizim. So the Samaritans wouldn't receive him. Why? Because his face was pointed toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will you let us command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? In other words, they are not receiving you, Jesus. They are not receiving us, Jesus. Let's burn them up. Let's destroy them by fire. And what does Jesus say? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. And they went to another village. So you see, This is the whole purpose of Jesus, to save men's lives, not to destroy men's lives, not to bring condemnation to people. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus came with love and with forgiveness. He forgives us our sins as we confess our sins. The test of discipleship. And it came to pass that as they went on their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no way to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go to bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but, Billy Goat Christian, but let me first go bid them, my family, farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What does Jesus mean for that? The plow was used for farming, and there were big rocks in the land of Israel, and you couldn't look back because you'd break the plow. So Jesus talks about the land of Israel in a way that if you are plowing, you're not going to look back, and if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is the Lord of the kingdom. Jesus is the Lord of the kingdom. And chapter 10. And after these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, some say 72, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was to come. They were preparing the way for Jesus. Yes. How? Through prayer, through fasting. We see the Saint Vincent Ferrer. Vincent Ferrer was a saint of miracles. He would send before him the penitents who would sing songs and do penance before he entered into a city. They prepared the city for Vincent Ferrer. This is how it worked. And when Vincent Ferrer got to the city, he had miracle services, preached the word of God, had miracle services. Thousands of people were healed through the Saint Vincent Ferrer. Look him up in Google, Vincent Ferrer, F-E-R-R-A. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. That's still true. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. Father, send laborers that would really go into the harvest field. Send laborers that know what the gospel is. Send laborers to bring the gospel to the broken, to the poor, and to the needy. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. So Jesus tells them that they are the lambs and people in the world are the wolves. And carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man on the way. Why? Because Jesus is enough. Into whatever house you enter, say, Peace be to this house. Father Joseph does that all the time when he goes to a house. And if the man of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon you. If not, it shall turn back again to you. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the laborer is worth his hire. Go not from house to house. In other words, stay in one house. You know, people would milk the people even then, that they go from house to house, not only getting food, but getting lodging and getting money. Jesus said, you stay in one house. And whosoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. What are you to do? Heal the sick that are there. Say unto them, The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Heal the sick. So we see that Jesus came, and his ministry in Luke's gospel is to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captives, sight to the blind, and liberty to those who are bruised. And he calls the 72 to do the same thing. Heal the sick and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come nigh upon you. But into whatever city you enter and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaves on us, we wipe out against you, notwithstanding you sure that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than this city that rejects Jesus. Oh, yes. Let me talk about New England. New England is a very cold place for the gospel. It is a very cold place for the gospel. People who have been evangelists like Billy Graham have said New England is a hard nut to crack. You want to know why? Because we have all these hospitals and we have all these colleges and universities, and people think that they're very bright and that they don't need a savior. And you know, the reality is everyone is broken and we need a savior. Everyone is broken. There is not one that is not broken, and we need a savior. And that savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of glory. He says it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that city that rejects him. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have done in you, they would have repented, and they would have sat in sackcloth and ashes. So we see that the miracles were done in Chorazin, Bethesda, and Capernaum. But what didn't they do? They didn't repent. They didn't repent. But Jesus said if those were the miracles that were done in Sidon and Tyre, they would have repented and sat in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on that judgment day than you. Why? Because Jesus came and healed the sick and healed the brokenhearted and delivered the captives and gave sight to the blind and liberty to those that were bruised, calling forth the Jubilee, but they didn't repent. They didn't repent. They were all for the miracles, but they didn't repent. They didn't repent of their sins. I'm telling you, repentance of sins is very important. We have a sacrament called the Sacrament of Reconciliation, Confession. Very important to turn away from our sins and believe the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us on the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and shed his blood, that the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to the heaven, you shall be thrust down to hell. He that hears you hears me. He that despises you despises me. He that despises Jesus despises the Father who sent him. This is real. This is real. That's why I say, you know what? I need to be very careful with the people that God has called his own, be they Catholic, Protestant, or Orthodox. I need to be very careful how I treat them. They might not worship the way I worship, but they have been chosen by God to bring the kingdom to their part of the earth. The one that is not against us is for us. People that are Catholic bashers, you need to repent. You need to repent. Your enemy is Satan and not the Catholic Church. And I'm going to tell you who are the Catholic bashers. Former Catholics. Former Catholics. They are the Catholic bashers. They say, we went to that church for so many years and we never heard the gospel. Well, I'm telling you, you need to forgive the church and the people who proclaim the word of God, if that be true or not true. You need to forgive and not throw down. Why? Because it's wrong to throw down. It's wrong to throw down. We need to forgive. If you have been molested, and that's a terrible, terrible trauma, in order to get out of that trauma, you have to forgive the person who did it to you. And they were wrong, they were evil, they were sinful. And yet they touched you and did things that you shouldn't have had experienced as a little child. But the way out of it is forgiveness. It's not any other way out of it, is forgiveness, forgiving the people that hurt us. This is very important, because without forgiveness we cannot go on. We are just stuck. And, you know, there's so many people in the church that are just stuck. And the 70 or the 72 returned again with joy. Why? Because they saw healing, they saw deliverance, they saw hearts changed, saying, Lord, even the devils are subjected unto us through the name of Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do not rejoice because the devil is subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven today? Oh yes, this is so very important. Is your name written in heaven? Say, I don't know. Well, then give your life to Jesus today. Pray with me, Lord Jesus, heal me. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive all my sins. I am desperate for you. My name is written in heaven. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my all. I have nothing but you, and you're enough. You're enough. You're enough. You're enough. Is your name written in heaven? I'm telling you, if you prayed that prayer with all your heart, your name is written in heaven. Try to get the confession as soon as possible so that you would receive the absolution from the Lord Jesus Christ through the church. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I need to tell you that we need to hear from you. Why? It's because we have bills for July, $26,000 worth, and the only way we can pay our bills is through you and through the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. You are the Lord is our provision, but you are the tributaries. The Lord is our provision. He is the one who provides, but you are the tributaries that bring the gospel to people who probably never heard the gospel. Maybe one person today got their name written in heaven. And you know why? Because you decided to sponsor this ministry. There is no gift too little or too big. So please help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or you can give online, www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. We want to pray for the closing of Planned Parenthood. They are selling kidneys and hearts and livers and lungs. Yes, they are. They call it tissue, but they are real kidneys and hearts and liver and lungs that come from these babies that these butchers take out of the womb. And you know, they're being very careful to take these babies out of the womb so that they can sell the kidneys, the hearts, and the livers and the lungs. Yes, they get from $30 to $100 for each one of these. They are butchers. They lie. They're saying we're against women's health. We're not against women's health. We are against paying to give abortions. We are against Planned Parenthood that takes our money from our taxes. That's what we are against. We don't want our tax money to go to the butchers, because they are butchers, and that's what they are. So we need to pray that Planned Parenthood close. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that Planned Parenthood would close and it would dry up of all of its funds. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.